Let us pray. Father, we ask and receive this evening insight and revelation and knowledge of your Son Jesus. We seek to know and be established in the truth that is present in us. Father, we receive clarification, explanation, and further insight into the truths stored in your wisdom that is available in Christ. We behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. We continue where we started last week on the wisdom in the wisdom of God. And just like the teaching pertains, we want to look at wisdom. God's wisdom. And last week as we started, we saw that there is a unique difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. And we'll look at, you know, how they differ and in what way that they differ. So let's get back again to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're there last week. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There are not two elements, one and the same. Righteousness of God is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But notice what he says in verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now we looked at that word, knowledge. It's that well-utilized Greek word, epignosis. But before we delve a bit into what epignosis is and what it is not, I want us to go back again to chapter 3. I touched on it last week when, don't forget we're looking at wisdom. And there's no way you can talk about wisdom and not talk about foolishness. So, you've got to, if you're going to talk about the wise, you must also talk about the unwise. That's how you will know what is wisdom and what it is not. Find a lot of times you find believers walk in the wisdom of men and they call it the wisdom of God. But let's have some study again. Verse 15. An account and the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Notice, according to the wisdom given unto him. Now, let's look at the fallout of this statement. He says that in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, okay, in which are some things hard to be understood. Notice the word, hard to be understood. So, he's definitely not talking about wisdom as a right and privilege in Christ, as the case may be. He says they are to be understood, which they that are unlearned, alright, and unstable rest as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So, the unlearned and unwise, unstable, are found they were meddling with wisdom. And notice that it said all the time that it's not just about knowing that was talked about for Paul. It was also about the way he communicated it. So you find out that those folks who did not have insight, they tried to communicate. And what they did eventually was make a wreck, you know, in the minds of other people. And we've seen how many people in the place of ministry will take something. And I told you, sometimes you can know something, but you don't have enough insight to communicate it well. And a couple of people have been like that. You know, they cannot communicate it well. So these folks, they rested the scriptures unto their own children. But look, this is the word he said was given unto him, wisdom, which is Sophia. Sophia is a Greek word there again for wisdom, which refers to insightful skill. Not accidental skill. Sophia doesn't come by a hobby. Like you know how to play football because you play set. Sophia is a function, or you know how to use the iPad somehow. It's insightful skill. The kind of skill that is gotten by deep insight. So that means that Paul became skillful in the subject of salvation. He became skillful in the subject of salvation. But when he says, giving him, which is the word didomi in the Greek, which means was freely bestowed on him. Every time you see didomi, it means that the recipient did not qualify. So, you can't say, well, let me know what Paul knows. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear the kind of clothes he wears. I'm going to start looking. I'm going to pray the number of hours he prays. As much as to pray like him is important, but it was given to him. It was freely given to him. And the kind of insight he has, which he said many times, was that dispensation was committed to him. And that happens a lot of times as well in ministry. So, you can see that the opposite of those of the wisdom of Paul will be that. So, Paul had wisdom in the scriptures. So, what the other guys did was they arrested the other scriptures to their destruction. So, if you don't have wisdom, what you have is that you cause confusion. Virtually every message I know, every good sound teaching of God's word in the body of Christ has this version that always comes through very, very unlearned people. And they take a hold of it and make a huge mess. A huge mess of it. You know, the same way you find people teach about prayer and it will be so sweet to pray. Some will teach about prayer and you know it's a punishment from heaven. You know, it's the same thing they are going to say, but the way they will communicate it will show that one has insight the other does not have. And then they will make a mess, you know, of what either two should be a wonderful truth of God's word. Now that said, get back to that 2 Peter 1, 2. It uses the word epignosis. We examined it last week. Epignosis was used by in the New Testament Greek 20 times. Epignosis. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God that is Jesus Christ. To know how important the term is, epignosis, he repeats it again, that word epignosis, in verse 3. In verse 3, again, he says, through the knowledge of him. So if there is a focus on knowledge, and the knowledge there is a pick, then it goes again in verse 8, it says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he repeats the term epignosis. So epignosis will be proper knowledge. I'll explain it a bit more. Specific knowledge, but accurate knowledge. Now, we do have a kind of knowledge that is a function of perception. You know, today if we discuss, let's look at a natural term. When I was younger, my perception, for example, of a lawyer when I was younger was Matlock. I don't know whether anybody saw Matlock. You know Matlock. Okay, that was my perception. I felt that a guy would just be investigating, and then he'll come, sometimes the long line, they want to kill him. Then he comes to court, then he says, you know, stuff and stuff like that. And that was nice. I just felt the lawyer is just somebody who would defend people, and it just makes sense. That Matlock, I think he lost just one case. When they saw the thing was becoming like Fabu, they eventually made him lose one case. And even the person that he defended eventually was let loose. I can't let go. I will forget that. But see, I now eventually, of course, as time went on, I remember when I was in secondary school, we used to have these students' courts when I was in Form 1. And so I was defending everything like Matlock. And I would talk and talk and talk. And because I could talk more than those other people, they felt I was a good lawyer. So that was, of course, my wanting to study law was because of my earlier models. like Obafemi Awolowo and Mahatma Gandhi, you'll be surprised. You know, and very for individuals like that. You know. But eventually, when I now went to study law, I did not just have knowledge, I was required to have epignosis. You know what I'm talking about? So this was, you have to be precise. So it was no longer, I thought that Mad Love was just a movie. Just like when you watch people do medical doctors in films. You know, you see them, they will put the stethoscope. The guy is supposed to be, they say, they put the stethoscope maybe at the back. I remember what I saw of a guy in the Yoruba version. He put the thing here and he was reading. Well, this is an interesting character. Miracles happen. Because maybe he hears through his neck. So there is precise. So, but when a doctor looks at it, the doctor feels like, what's this nonsense? Do you get it? And because what they have done is that we know what a doctor is. They know a doctor will use stethoscope, at least in Nigeria. You know. They know other things. But that's just like an overview knowledge. You get it? But, did I mention last week about my swimming? Was it this? Abu. Is it this? Alright, so, we have that perception. Do you understand? About it. So, but when you begin to look at it specifically, because every time you find the word epignosis, it's almost like an academic knowledge. You are precise. If you mention grace today, everybody will say they know grace. Say grace means unmerited favor. Grace means everybody will say it. But really, you know, somebody was telling me that something about the grace person in Nigeria. I said, it doesn't even be taught. People just having ideas of what it is. Because there are some things that people still do that shows that they don't have insight into it at all. You know they don't. That is just something they add amongst many things. You know, in ministry sometimes about apps. Which one can work part time? This one can get this crowd. This one can get that crowd. Just get all the crowd with anything. So, really, when it says through the knowledge, that is specific. Don't forget, it's not just a perception. It's not just a good perception. But through this precise knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that's why there's nothing as dangerous than for a Christian to go to a church where they hold Bible study aside from church service. And that's a strange statement, but I'll repeat myself. Where they hold Bible study apart from church service. That means they give you an option. Every service should be Bible study. What else are you doing? What is the service about? If not Bible study. So you have that. And so it says through the knowledge, which is epignosis. We're going to come to epignosis a bit more. But notice something. By the time you get to verse 5, he says, don't forget, this is in the knowledge. He has given us all things. I think that was clear last week, right? Right? All these things. Can you remember that? That passage like now look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. Let's read verse 5 together. Let's go. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your... That looks contradictory because we are supposed to, this is supposed to be, all things are supposed to be given to us through the knowledge of Him. So, how can I add knowledge to epignosis? How can I add knowledge to knowledge would be the right word. But a different word is used there. The same way you have the word love. In the word love in the Greek, English will have it as love, it's a general word, but you have agape, which is sacrificial, not the love of God, please. Agape, sacrificial love. You have filio, which is fondness, likeness, friendship. You have Philadelphia, which is from filio, which is brotherly love. Delphia simply means you came from the same womb. Delphos. Then you also have Eros. Eros is from the flesh. Where, and people always think that Eros is of the devil. Eros is not of the devil. Eros simply means if there was no Eros, you would not have been born. But think of agape, you were born. Eros is from, is just something that comes from desire. Okay? Where you can have desire for sex, desire for physical intimacy and all that. You know? So, all that, you know, comes together. So you need to look at it properly and say what he's talking about. So the knowledge he's referring to there is gnosis. Gnosis. Gnosis is used 29 times. That means we have 20 times for epignosis and we have 29 times for gnosis. For example, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter, remember when Paul was talking about idols, food offered to idols, and he's writing to a church that he had hitherto said, I could not feed you with meat, but I had to feed you with milk. Alright, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, you are, you know, yet carnal and you walk as mere men. But look at what he says to them, as certain things offered to idols, we know, imagine, he includes them. He doesn't use epignosis for them. Are you following this? Do you get this? This is a church that if they had epignosis, he would not call them carnal. You get it? But he says, we know, ginosko, okay, gnosis, we know that we all have knowledge. Gnosis. Knowledge puffs up, I'm coming to that later. And love, but love edifies. They are not opposites. Okay? If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. If any man loves God, the same is known of him. So it goes in verse, let me just run quickly because of time. So he says, albeit in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 8, there is not this knowledge in every man. There is not in every man that knowledge. So he says in 11, if through thy knowledge you should make your weak brother perish, that means after this we shall have weak brother. That means after this cannot be, we shall have weak brothers. I don't know who these are, but that's a very serious case. If a cannot Christian, as it were, can still call you weak, you know your case is really in the book of life. So the word gnosis here, interestingly, means functional knowledge. Something that is being used. So why would he use that for the Corinthian church? That means that they were acting on this. Of course, knowing food offered to idols is not the kind of insight for spiritual growth. It's not. Knowing that there's no other God but God is not like the depth of the riches of the glory of God. You get it? But it's functional for these guys because they apply it. How do they apply it? When they go for salah meat, they eat. Because it's, you know, don't put zero for salah meat today. If you can't eat salah meat, what if I give you the one offer to Irumole? You would quickly die. You get it? So they run away from. So he's now telling them that look, you don't know, but not everybody has this awareness, this functional knowledge. That is why some scholars will call gnosis experiential knowledge. Originally, gnosis should come out of epignosis, but some people have it without epignosis. They do. For example, some people speak in tongues and they interpret it. And they have wonderful experiences from it, but it's not that they can explain the gifts of the Spirit with tongues. But their experiences are valid. It's just like when I got saved, I'm still saved. And I now, because one of the books I read that blessed me was Reinhard Bonnke's book. Was it a book now? No, it was an article that I read. And the person who got me filled with the Holy Ghost did not do any, he didn't allow me to ask questions. And that was a blessing. Because if I had asked questions, I would probably not be filled till date. So I just got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And I'd been speaking with tongues. So I went for one particular program. And then they were talking about the qualifications of being filled with the Spirit. I didn't meet any of them, but I was already speaking in tongues. And so I had gnosis. Do you understand? I said, look, I know this one. I'm speaking in tongues. And I tried to say, well, what if my own is different? And I listened to other people there. I said, no, I speak in tongues. You know, and one brother who was, he just hit himself and said, up. I said, no, I speak in tongues. I know I speak in tongues. More than you all. So, there was gnosis, even though there was no epignosis. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's experiential. The kind of knowledge that is experiential. So that's why I would say, add to your epignosis, gnosis. Do you understand? Functional, that is expected of us to have functional experiential insight. Experiential, functional insight. There was a minister that we had to call one day. We said, well, you teach so well about rejoicing in the Spirit. We have never seen you rejoice. It was a big issue. It was not joko. So you have to rejoice, sir. You understand? You have to. You know. So, the same way. So, look at 1 Peter 3. Peter uses words a lot. For example, you know, the word of knowledge cannot be the word of epignosis. That would be the word of gnosis. That is the word, a fragment, or an utterance of experience. That which has happened or is happening. Do you understand? That is gnosis. That which has happened or is happening. That's a word of knowledge. When you point out to someone, for example, when Jesus said, someone touched my clothes. That is a word of knowledge. That is something that has happened or is happening. Someone touched my clothes. It was not, he didn't have an insight into her name, where she came from, the name of the disease, how she did it, at what point she touched it, which of the fingers touched, you know, that will be epignosis. But it's an experiential fact that her hands touched his clothes. So that's a word of knowledge. Someone touched my clothes. So he says, add to your precise knowledge, epignosis. Are you following this? Are you following this? Go to 1 Peter one more time. Chapter 3, we'll look at verse 7. And this is what he said, and I'll talk about this a bit more. This is what he said to the husband and the wife. I recall on Sunday, I was teaching in the service and I said something, and all the men just went blue. I said, the Bible says, husband, love your wives, and wives submit as the church. And the truth is that people, if you look at the teaching very well, it's not as funny enough. For as funny as we read that verse, Paul wasn't teaching authority. Because if he was teaching authority, then he would not say, "I show you a mystery. This is concerning Christ and the church." He wasn't teaching authority, and we should be the boss. You know that every time in the home, you should just bring that court order as they say, submit. You understand? I asked a question on Sunday, and the man just went blank. Who was around? Was the second service? Second service. They all went blank. And then he says, husband, love your wives as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. And if you look at it very well, the church was born out of the love of God in Christ. That the submission is based on the love. We don't submit to be loved of God. We submit because we are loved by Jesus. You follow me now? Do you follow what I just said? The men have gone quiet again. Except Pastor, while he's pretending to laugh. That means the submission is a response to a sacrificial love. The submission is not what brings the love. The love is what causes the submission. Amen? Okay, the men went quiet again. Because what they have in their head is this patriarchal African thing. You know, some people think they can punish their wives. Kneel down. Kneel down. Yes, I know. He says, as Christ. If you didn't put Christ there, that would be just a normal cultural instruction. As Christ. So, our view, said the head of, instead of Christ is God, right? The head of every man is Christ. You know, Christ doesn't say, where have you been going since? Have you prepared my food? No, Christ doesn't do that. You know, His lordship over our lives is His love. You get it? Where are you? That's what this is called, husband. Husband. Amen. Praise God. We have a family life conference that we postponed. It's awesome. Praise God. It's awesome. It's the word of God. You know me, I don't do all psychology. Okay. Where are we? Husband, are we? As Christ. Amen. And gave Himself. Praise God. He said he sanctified by the washing of water by the word. He presented to Himself. Hallelujah. Why would you submit? You will submit now. Somebody died for your sins. He gave you everlasting love. You know it's everlasting. How will you not submit? As Christ. Don't ever remove that. Hallelujah. So, who is always at the receiving end of our faith? Our misdeeds? You don't know? Who takes all the mess for you? Huh? I want the men to talk. Who takes all the mess for you? Huh? Christ is all. Is it not all? Gang, 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 gang. Christ alone. Do I have a husband alone? Alright, let's leave that. We'll come to it someday soon. Amen. Make sure you attend. Alright? So look at 1 Peter 3. And that's Peter was teaching that. He says in verse 7. No, he gave an instruction. Look at how he started. He says, after this, he talked about submission of the woman. Alright? Then he went into how she can win over a man that is not a Christian. And he says, look, it's by your conduct. You know, how you dress. You know, yes. But more importantly, your conduct. And he now says, after this manner, verse 5, in the old time, the holy men also who trusted in God, you know, and adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You know, that's really cool. You know, you don't call Jesus nickname too. Amen. Honey. I mean, if you take the other side, take this one too. You don't call Jesus honey. Honey. Sweetie. Sweetie pie. It's just Lord. Hallelujah. You were quiet, right? Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to gnosis. Applicable experience. That means you will have to learn of your wife. That's what he's saying. It's interesting. That means there is no matter what you both do when you are cutting, cutting is different from the cut itself. Amen. I tell people, couples, whenever I'm doing counseling for them, I avoid it these days. Thank God for Jakes and other people that are coming up. I just do one last session, and that was just like play, and I just say, are you ready? Are you ready? Go and marry. You know. Because there's more. Praise God. We're working on something. Yeah, love it. We'll come out with this soon. Working on something like that. It's okay. Praise God. You'll be blessed. It's about marriage, right? We're working on something. We've worked it somehow, haven't we? We're even going to work it now. You know, we're working on something. But, so it's just, you know, and I tell people when I talk, I said, look, you're just about to get married, though. They always get surprised. And all these things you're learning about yourself on phone, BlackBerry, Now you are going to live together. No pinging. You will see some things and you will have to walk in the spirit. Say, hey, ah. I say, if you marry Jesus of Nazareth, the same thing will happen. You know, I like something Pastor Chris said years ago. I didn't like it, I liked it later. He said, you don't love a woman until you marry her. Ah. No way! It's true. That's why you need love. No, you can change your mind before you marry. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But when you are married, you begin to walk in love. Amen. So it says, according to gnosis, functional, applicable knowledge. Not all this marriage seminar. This one is real. Because you discover that there is a marriage seminar for each person that is married. Everybody has their own seminar. You get my point? Unique people. What do people do in marriage is rather than know how to dwell according to knowledge, they want to change the person. See what they say? According to knowledge. And look when he says, look at the word dwell. The word dwell is really what amazed me. The word dwell is the word sunoikeo, S-U-N-O-I-K-E-O. It's a very, very interesting word. It's actually used for intimacy and naturalness. Intimacy and naturalness. For example, it's telling you that I can say this, but actually the Bible is written for everybody anyway. For example, if that means that you will have to learn your wife's or your husband's, your spouse's sexual preference through the person. That's what he's saying. The Holy Ghost will not lead you. No? That's why I called it, you see, naturalness, dwell, is to cohabit. It's used for people that live together. Naturalness is used for things like bathing together. I'm not saying that's what he's saying. Before you go home and say, well, I've been telling you, be married for. That's not what I'm saying. You get it? Like living together. That you now have to begin to study one another. In 21 years today, this year, that I've been counseling married couples. I always tell them, I say, look. And I said, look, you think you have another woman, another man somewhere that is unique to you? I said, you will learn. Rather than see yourself as needing to walk in the spirit, you think you need to change spouse. You get my point? Agree that anger is the fruit of your spirit. Agree first. You didn't hear that? First of all, agree that there's anger in your spirit, man. That it came after salvation and it stayed. You get the point? Do you understand? So, it's a fact. So he said, dwell according to functional knowledge. That means you will learn to study experientially. And you won't compare. You get my point? You won't compare a spouse with another person. Because when you marry the other one too, in case you serially marry, you discover that you will still need to dwell according to gnosis. That's why when people marry, a friend of mine, a senior friend, said they got married. He married somebody who was a member of his church. So they got into the bedroom and said, pastor, I said, where is that? Who is that? Where is he? You know. And he said that same man opened her eyes and she has been, just like Eve, her eyes have been. Why did I say Eve? It's true, Jerry. You know, so according to functional knowledge, there will be things. You know that your wife doesn't like to be ask that kind of question at this time. That's gnosis. Forget epignosis. That's gnosis. For example, I don't like you coming to me and giving me 5 requests. I won't answer any. Just one by one. It's only God that can hear everybody. My kids know. They say, all right. My daughter will come and say, Daddy, I know you are going to think about it. Because she knows my answer. Let me think about it. So, how long will you think about it? You know, I don't give immediate answers. Do you understand? So don't get angry. If you want to get something from me immediately, you want to get a lie. I'll say, no problem, it'll be done. Well, he told me, I'll say, I said so. Okay, I've changed it. What do you want to do? If I say my father's masquerade will dance, if I say he's not going to dance, should be I own the masquerade. My son was telling me, we're talking. He said, hey, before you start, he was asking for something. Before I said, before you start, yada, 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 your father did not do it for you. Your father said, look, your father is not my father. I was shocked. He said, that's your own father. That's knowing your children by gnosis. You know, you can't know your children, but it's also gnosis experience. That's why you must not allow anybody to compare children. Do you understand? It's one of the worst things a parent can do. I don't even want children that are the same. It will irritate me. I will regret everything in my life. I want two different individuals who can make life wonderful. Imagine if all our pastors were the same, or they all like rotary. To a very boring ministry. Am I making sense? Extremely boring ministry. Everyone is like Pastor Lai. You know, there's a lot of problems. That'll be a lot of problems. You don't want to have two Pastor Lai's in the church. One is enough. Just, So imagine having kids and everybody is like him. You just sit down, you do a lot of fasting and prayer. You sure can have two of mine, my kind. I'm still studying myself. So if somebody gets right to me and say, you know me, I'll just be laughing. You better live by faith. You don't know me. Sorry, I never knew. You don't know me. So you dwell according to knowledge. Do you get it? According to knowledge. That means you have to learn to have functional knowledge in a marriage. Okay? So when it says add knowledge to your epignosis, you can have epignosis about marriage, the walk in love. Do you understand? Yeah, you now begin to apply it experientially. That's what he's saying. Experientially. Experientially. You begin to apply it experientially. You know, there's a way you can express forgiveness to a child different from an adult. That's experiential in application. So you have to learn to do that. Are you learning something? All right. So you cohabit according to. Look at the word. As. It says as weaker vessels. That word there is chosen. The Greek means descriptive, like weaker vessels. Or weak or weaker vessels. Now, obviously, I want to give you a clear explanation. I don't want you to misunderstand that. The word here is asthenes, A-S-T-E-N-E-S. Okay? Now, let me explain this. This does not mean, that's why it uses as. As is figurative. It doesn't mean the woman is a weaker vessel. Ah, may I know that too. There are some sisters in this church. They are not weak. And there are some brothers in this church. They can't call anybody weak. This church, not the body of Christ. There was a day in Ibadan. Near, when you want to enter Dubai like this, that is the crown. There was these two guys, they were just talking to this lady and harassing her. That's how they got down from the bus. Ah! I didn't know the lady was a judo. She beat. So, this one is not a weaker vessel. Bo, 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 bo.
One Ibadan man said, this one will beat the hell out of you. I was watching, if you marry that kind of woman, in scripture, you tell her, look, you cannot live in the flesh. You cannot. If you get in the flesh. Alright, let's go on. So when it says as unto, that means you will take your role like someone taking care of a weaker person. Alright? That word abstinence is always used for either someone that's weak, infirmed. Alright? So when he used that, it's just the same thing he said, Paul says about Christ, the head of the church. Do you understand? Who loves and gives himself for it that he may present. You know, he already presents the church like a weaker person. Do you understand? You know, in that relationship between us and on Jesus, we are the one drawing strength from him. We are the one supporting him. So it's the same thing they are saying. Do you understand? Do you understand that? Uh-huh. So it's not like a literal weakness. Just saying that you are like the support structure for her. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So dwell with her according to gnosis as unto a weaker vessel. It says that your prayers be not rendering, sorry, I want to use that word. Rendering, you render what? Giving honor unto the wife. That's a very strong word. Honor. Alright? That word there is aponymo in the Greek. A-P-O-N-E-M-O. The first word I used was, the vessel is the word steos. I'll spell it for you. S-T-E-O-U-S. It's used for implements, things that take liquids. Alright? So, it implies that the woman becomes a container of your love, your service. Alright? That's what he's saying. She becomes a container. Alright? So, the word weaker is not for the vessel. Alright? If I'm going to try and say, as unto a weaker, a vessel. You get it? That is the vessel. Alright? Is what contains your affection, what contains what you do. That's why he uses the word vessel. So he says that, and that's in the relationship, alright? Now he says, pay attention, that you render honor. The word aponymo is something she deserves. So your wife deserves honor, right? And one of the things that your wife deserves, and I always say this to men, some of them who are in this church, I don't know why I'm doing my counseling, but I'll escape very soon. Is look, except it's, you know, stop talking to your in-laws about your spouse. It takes away the sanctity of your marriage. Don't discuss your in-laws. Your thoughts of your spouse with your in-laws, sorry. Don't render deserved honor. It's a deserved honor. That's an honor. The way you honor, you treat as different. Alright? Doesn't do. Honor, or say that your prayers be not hindered. Now, people have wondered whether this means that when you pray, God will just be angry. Say, go and meet your wife first. No, Abba. Right, what kind of, what's that? What of those who are not married? Some guys just decide not to marry at all. Because they know that their prayers will never be answered. That's the point. That word there does not mean, it's used rather for something stopping it from happening, to prevent it. That means, which is a fact, when there's a domestic issue in homes, it prevents people's spiritual worship. That's what he's saying there. And that word he uses for preventing something from happening, Acts 24 verse 4, Romans 15 22, Galatians 5 7, I'll take it one more time, Acts 24 verse 4, Romans 15 22, Galatians 5:7, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Most of these references I gave you are for Satan hindering people from preaching the gospel. Not hindering them from even preaching, not for people hearing it or believing. Alright, so it's to hinder your praying at all. So this is really a counsel against domestic strife. Domestic. You dwell with yourself according to functional knowledge. So, if you know all the teaching on love, you understand who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you, and who you are in one another. He's saying now, make it functional. I always teach you that when we talk about love and forgiveness, the people we normally don't think about are those close to us. I don't know what. And even on the Pauline Press, I remember something an elder minister told me a couple of years back. We're talking about a minister friend who is his own sibling, and who has left the work of ministry and backslid and all that. So I was expressing concern that what's going on? This is a man, mightily used of God. He now said something. He said, Chekun, you are getting emotional. I said, that's the problem. It's because he's your friend. That's why you've not been able to help him. He said, imagine if this fellow was somebody's brother that is not me, you don't know him, and they tell you that this fellow is backsliding. You know, you will not include your emotions. You will simply have prayed the Pauline prayers. You will have done, say, but you are just like, why should you? You've gotten your emotions involved. So that's why we've not been able to help people close to us, because we are always allowing blood to enter our hearts and natural affection. He said, separate that emotion and pray the Pauline prayers for him, like as you would have done for just about anybody that you knew. You just say we are forgiveness of sins. We think it's applicable elsewhere, but in our home. We think it's not applicable to our siblings. You know, just say, I know. And then you walk in love to somebody else in your office, maybe somebody on the road, somebody, people that really don't matter to you so much. You walk in love easily. People, I forgive you. No big deal, but when you got somebody so close to you, you know, what about forgiving your kids, your parents? You know, things like that. We don't apply it, you know, to those kind of people. So, and that's exactly what I say here. Functional knowledge. Functional. You know, somebody will fall into a sin, you know, that somebody you pastor, and then you look at the person, you teach the person the word of God, you believe the best about the person. It now became maybe your sibling, or your spouse, or your children. Never! And you begin to take it differently. That means you are actually in the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? Then we have to take away all those emotional things and just walk in the spirit and believe the best about people. Okay? Are you there? So that's exactly what Paul was also teaching. Okay? The wisdom Paul taught in the marriage is the same thing. What you can see. What you can see. Look at it. What you can see. And then begin to apply knowledge in a functional, experiential way. I'll give you an instance. What you learn in law school. A lawyer, epignosis. When you go to court, gnosis. Because that begins to shake. But you can't have gnosis without what? Epignosis. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, they say that the person that uses the mouth to drive can never ever have an accident. Say, you have just done right, and just say, yeah. But when you get there, you press everything together. You know, that is gnosis. So there's epignosis, and then there is gnosis. I remember somebody sat me down at Unilag years ago and taught me how to use the internet. A friend of mine was a Tim Grage, and I went back to Badon to go and pay for, you know, all this internet, and I paid. And I clicked. To even open the thing itself, my time was running. To open email, I typed my full name, and I was just looking stupid. You get it? So I just gave up. Epignosis was in Lagos. Gnosis was here. So I told her that. So we used to go. So I think a few times we'll go together, and then she will pay somebody. So one day she said, no, that we are going to do this thing today ourselves. I said, no, you waste my time. And I was like, no, that is today. And you will waste my time. I was really. She just went there, paid for it, and sat there. And I was just hungry. I said, you went like that, and you opened it. So I moved closer, I said, she has opened it too. So I was forced to learn. You know, that is epignosis and gnosis. Praise God. Alright. So, but later on I knew more things, and I said, come on, let me teach you how to do this. So don't stop there. So say, add to your faith,
epignosis. Praise God. So that means in epignosis there is functional knowledge. In that precise understanding of who you are in Christ and what you have and what belongs to you, there is a functional knowledge. So we can call epignosis to study chemistry, physics, and all the likes. Specific, precise. When you enter your first year, you study everything. Then they now begin to give you epignosis. Precise. You know, some guys do very well in all those courses, first year courses. Then when they now get to the department itself, they begin to form. You that did very well in GNS, you begin to score 20. In the real thing, why you came to school. Yeah, so really, it's specific. That's why when you look at the Pauline prayers, and look at Ephesians 1, as he begins to pray, Ephesians 1, the Pauline prayers, epignosis is Paul's language. It was used so much. Epignosis and gnosis are Paul's language. And that shows you that his letters were all about knowledge. Ephesians 1, 17, that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm coming back here anyway. In the knowledge of Him. Alright? In the knowledge of Him. Notice, specific. In the knowledge of Him. Specific. So, he begins to say, what is this knowledge? Notice here, he begins to talk about what did God do in Christ. Verse 18. Our inheritance. Verse 19. Exceeding greatness of His power towards what we would believe. Verse 20, which is what in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, same as the right hand. Verse 21, far above all power and might and dominion. Verse 22. That is epignosis of those things. But look at Philippians. Philippians' epignosis was different. In Philippians, the epignosis was Philippians 1, 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in epignosis. And in discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Notice that the knowledge is different here. Are you following what I'm saying? So epignosis is specific. In chapter 1, 17 to 23, that's why they call it the most powerful prayer, and chapter 3, we'll see that, it was about what Christ did, alright? And what He has accomplished around the Father. But that's not what is here. What is in here? This is a different focus. But then He uses the same word, epignosis. Specific, alright? Precise understanding of the facts. Alright? Colossians chapter 1, again, verse 9. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bring fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the focus is different. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Philemon 6, the communication of your faith may become effectual by the epignosis of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. See that? It is different. So, epignosis must be epignosis of what? Precise knowledge. The new man is renewed after knowledge. Colossians 3:10. So, Paul prayed for epignosis. Precise, definite facts of Christ. He also prayed for gnosis. Look at Ephesians 3:18. Gnosis. Where you have gnosko. Ephesians 3:18. That you may be able to comprehend. That's the word katalambano. Katalambano means to grasp, to take, to grab a hold of. That you may be able to grab a hold of, that's the word comprehend, katalambano,
K-A-T-A-L-A-M-P-A-N-O. With all saints, what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height? Right? Verse 19. To know the love of Christ. That's the word ginosko. To realize. The love of Christ. Which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To realize. So, which passes knowledge? You know, we said, which is the surpassing knowledge. That's what we said. Remember, I've explained that scripture to you before, right? The surpassing knowledge. The surpassing gnosis. Experiential knowledge. To know it. To realize it. To come to realize it. So, as he prayed for epignosis, his focus in chapter 3 was what? Gnosis. So both work together. But you cannot, you know, notice that every time gnosis is mentioned, gnosis is mentioned over what? After what? Epignosis. Now that you have specific, as it were, academic details. Now, from that specific academic details, will now come experiential, functional, usable, applicable knowledge. Is that clear? So people know all kinds of prayer, but they don't pray. All kinds of prayer. To pray. To pray is the word. Hesekoma. You have another Greek word. Aiteho. Then there's a little something like Diesis. Prayer group. Meanwhile, we are those who do this. And they'll do it 6 hours. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. No! Gnosis? No. Epignosis. You understand? That's what he was telling them about food offered to idols. They just hear a man say, I prayed! And they say, eh? Elijah prayed! They will pray. Don't like what's going on, they will get results. Alright? But you see, it becomes a problem later. Because they may think it's the way they shake their head till they have headache that makes them get results. Meanwhile, the man with the epignosis will know how to get results, but he's not applying it. He has not been able to use. So in epignosis, there is usable knowledge. That which is applicable, functional, and necessary. So, you can see that James's prayer in James 1:5 is in place. Huh? If any lack wisdom, insight, is it possible for a Christian to lack wisdom? Of course! If a Christian can lack epignosis, can lack gnosis, why would he lack wisdom? Do you understand? It's in place. Let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hallelujah. When I was younger, you know, when we came into the truth of redemption in the early 90s, or is it middle 90s now, we said, James does not understand the reality. How can you ask a new creature to ask for wisdom? Zero man! We didn't know that we're the foolish ones. But the foolish ones. In fact, if we had prayed the prayer of James, we'd not be talking like that. You get it? You know? And that's why some of us will take time to, you know, a lot of people, they just get into the word and they begin to make noise. And why I'm not surprised? Because I've been there. You know? So I say that if James has seen Paul's revelation, you know, I say, well, there's a lot of truth in the fact that Paul's revelation also grew with time. And it's not like unlikely that if James had seen Paul's revelation. However, to say that James's truth is contrary to Paul's revelation means that you need a screw to be replaced in your brain. Because the thing was put together because they all agreed. Those books were put together because they all agreed. So you must first of all accept that in your mind and then begin to study the truth of the scripture saying the same thing. Do you understand? father said. So you pray, they pray. Okay. So that came back to Peter one more time.
Peter now says in verse 10 that when you add this to your epignosis, don't forget the word add means what? To make available. To apply. That's what it is. Apply this. When and where do you get it from? You get it from the epignosis. Remember we said that last week. Now, he says, now look at what is in verse 10, 2 Peter 1. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, okay, to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. I'm not saying falling from salvation. You shall never fall. Say, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. The word sure is the word bebaos. B-E-B-A-I-O-S. It means firm. Of course, what Peter is teaching here is spiritual growth. Because if these things abound in you, in verse 8, you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. He says you will not fall. That word fall means to stumble. That means if these things abound, you will stand. You will be a strong Christian. You know, we can have weak Christians. Romans chapter 14 verse 1. Weak in faith. Romans 15 1. Brothers that have infirmities. 1 Corinthians 8. The weak brother. So you can have weak Christians. But he says, if these things abound, you will not be weak. You will stand. You will not stumble. So, spiritual growth makes us to stand. So, why did he say this? Because in verse 8, like we said, he said, if this is abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful. So, we can have believers who are not fruitful. The same people Paul will call, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? Who are not fruitful. The same people Jesus will say that they don't bear fruit and the Father will not lift up and then care for. In John 15. So you have, they are not fruitful. Why are they not fruitful? Because they are not diligent with knowledge. A man that is diligent with knowledge will apply these things. They are not diligent. What is it about them? In verse 9, he says, if you say he that lacketh these things, in verse 9, he is blind, cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his sins. He cannot see afar off. He's not growing. What it says he has forgotten is the word lanthano in the Greek. He has forgotten. So it's the word leth. Sorry. L-E-T-H-E. L-E-T-H-E. From lanthano. Leth means oblivion. Something that is not seen. That is a brother that does not abound in these things, what has happened to him? His Christianity will not be seen. He's not seen. It's the word lanthano. Lethi is taken from lanthano. Lanthano is that you are not aware. It's not visible. Hebrews 13, 2. 2 Peter 3, 5 and 2 Peter 3, 8. You are not growing. Because spiritual growth is an evident reality of salvation. It's not a reality of salvation, but it's that which is an evident reality of salvation. As much as we say, the things I used to do, I do them no more. It's not the proof of salvation, but it's a proof of growth. That you are making impact. How can a Christian, you are born again, and your friends remain the same? Your desires remain the same. Your passion remain the same. Then what's the new creation about you? Ephesians 2:10, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had beforehand ordained that you should walk in them. We are put on the new man, which after God, Ephesians 4:24, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there is a walk in the spirit of a man that is born again. Things have to change. Your friends will change. Your disposition will change. What you like and your is will be amended or changed totally. because you now have a new disposition, just like Paul. Paul did not go back to those folks that he went, was with at Damascus. Immediately went to the brethren. That is relationship. Immediately. You can't get born again and patch up the guy you used to go out with. And he fears God, just like the lions in Daniel's den. Or the other way around. He fears God. Didn't the world fear God? He fears God. Fearing God, the Bible says demons fear and they tremble. They believe and they tremble. Maybe the man is just a demon. Or the woman is a demon. I think it happens both ways. So, he says, you are soon forgotten. Quickly. Nobody can see. It's not seen. The evidence is not there. There's no fruit. So it has to abound. Functional knowledge. Practical use and application of what you know. Are you following what I'm saying? Not what you know from school. Or first on, what you know in Christ. There was one when we were in fellowship years back. There was one guy that was introduced to me. Said, the guy just got born again. He said, sir, he will be very useful. Say, why? He's the most brilliant person in our school, was the secondary school. The most brilliant. I said, let him become a fool immediately. That's how he's going to be wise in Christ. He has to be a fool. What do you want to come and teach us? What you don't know? Oh. He may be an expert in the wisdom of this world. That's all he is. We'll come to that soon. So, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:16-17 is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That word there is wisdom, which is revelation. In the knowledge. So, where is the wisdom found? In the knowledge. Sophia is where? In the knowledge. Epignosis of him. So, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have insight. Sophia. Skillful insight. In the knowledge. In the knowledge. The word revelation there is apokalupsis. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. Apokalupsis. What's going to happen? In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Eyes enlightened is the word potizo in the Greek. Potizo. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. Is used 11 times. It means that which is evident. The eyes of your understanding, that's the other mind, now enlightened. It can see that you may know. Know. The word know there is different now. It's the word heido. E-I-D-O. To appreciate. All the words E-I-D-O. The words used in that prayer are active things. None of them is passive. Epignosis is active. Sophia is active. Apocalypsis, revelation is active. Heido is active. And Fortizo is active. They are active things. That is why he kept saying you. That's your. I'm on in the Greek. Which is its key. You are involved. You come to realize. Oh, do you know when somebody is talking? And he speaks for a long time. Oh, I see what you mean. That is heido. Oh, I see what you mean. That means what you call the cocoa, the meat, or what just comes. Oh, I get your point. That's heido. So, you'll be able to appreciate it. Ah, I see what you mean. Heido. So, you are enlightened. You now become a spiritual literate man. Where is the wisdom again? He says wisdom. When he says, you've got the spirit of wisdom. If we consider the wisdom from your spirit, be a better thing. Ephesians 1:3.
who has blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit. That's the word spiritual blessings. Blessings of the, I read something someone said. He said, all, he said, for now your car is spiritual. Your house is spiritual. Your husband is spiritual. Your wife is spiritual. But you know, just like everything, you need to download it from that site. You will download. He said, faith is the downloader. And they were all laughing. I said, these are all crazy. Did they give you a spiritual car? Well, in these days of no fuel, you just be using tongues to drive it. Makes sense, makes sense, makes sense. Alright. Okay? He says, okay, those blessings are resident, they are from your spirit, or of the spirit, or in the spirit. So here we go. In verse 14, he now says, in verse 13, sorry, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That is, this is the proof of our inheritance. So, wisdom is in our spirit. So, wisdom is in our spirit. Okay? So, there is wisdom in the spirit. Wisdom. So, this wisdom, you didn't have it till you got born again. You understand? The wisdom we're referring to, you didn't have it till you got saved. It's only available in the Spirit. You can't have it till you're born again. And let me add this. This is vital. It's not the wisdom of Solomon. As we go further, we'll explain that. You can't have it till you are born again. Jesus made it clear that the wisdom in him is greater than Solomon's own. It was so clear when he said. So here we go. In 1 Corinthians 1, we went through that last week. It was clear that there's a distinguishing of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. I think we ran through it last week. Did we? Look at chapter 2 first, before we go to chapter 1. Chapter 2 was so clear. It says in verse 7, before, let's start from 6 and 7. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. So he talks about the wisdom of this world, which is the wisdom of the princes, the rulers of this world, the chiefs, the intellectuals of this world. But we speak the wisdom of God, verse 7, in a mystery. Notice that word, mysterion. Even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then quickly, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 talks about how has not seen, hear, has not heard, attended how the man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It has said, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things in the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the Spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Let's take verse 13 together. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, or with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing what? So it makes a clear distinction that this is not the wisdom of this world. That the wisdom that we're talking about is wisdom given to us by the Spirit, or better still, in the Spirit. Go to chapter 1, and let's view what he says. Okay, before we get to chapter 1, that's chapter 2 again. Let's take verse 14 together. Chapter 2, verse 14, let's go. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Let's take it one more time. The natural man. One more time. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. The word foolishness is the Greek word moria. M-O-R-I-A. It means dull. It's taken from the word morose. M-O-R-O-S. You know when somebody is looking morose? Morose in the Greek. You know, some of those Latin English words were taken from Greek words. Alright? It means foolish, dull. You can't access it. And see how many times that word was used in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 23. We preach Christ. In fact, in verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's dull. He asks this. This is not lively. Unto us which are saved is the power of God. In verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, the dullness, to save them that believe. And sometimes we want to appeal to the wisdom of this world by changing God's method from preaching to drama, from preaching to fiction. We want to change the method because we also are reasoning like natural men that this is not appealing. Let's do something else. Let's do something else. We had a book years back. We're to launch it, and a brother told us, "Said what? Said we did, said from research that he discovered that if you want to sell a book, you put women there." The funny part was that we had already put women in front of the book unknowingly, because the person who published for us just put, you know, just. Yeah, they said it's a very good thing. Otherwise, it's catchy. Women are there. What? Nonsense. But we have done it. Unknowingly, the wisdom of this world. That is how to do it. If you want to invite people to church, don't talk about Jesus. They will run away. Don't talk about Jesus. Just tell them that you love them. You? And show them love. How do you show them love? Give them Indomie. And Fanta. If that was the gospel, then Jesus lost it in John 6. He fed 5,000 men, and by Jewish culture, you know what that means to the women and the children. Jewish men were powerful men. So he had thousands, and he fed everybody. The Bible says they ate till there was left over. So they ate, and when he began to preach the word, they could not eat again. I mean the word. And Jesus said, what you have, you will eat what you have, is you eat and die. Can you imagine? Somebody has a bread. There is my flesh. And everybody escaped church. One by one. Even his company was saying, what is this? You get it? So you can see the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And that's why people are using the wisdom of this world in some churches, and what they have are false Christians. They're not Christians. They're not born again, no. Don't mind the rabba-rabba they say in service. Speaking in tongues is not the proof of salvation. It's faith in Christ. If you like, say kangaroo. That's your business. If you do not believe the gospel, you are going to hell. Do you understand? Crack ass me. Foolishness. That's why he says God has used the foolishness of preaching. Preach. How can you use fiction? Fiction. Somebody does like Jesus. He's not Jesus. And you believe. Oh, you don't get that. We're not using pictures. We're using words. Not pictures. Not drawings. So people, that's what I just said. Quickly come out now. Let us get you born again. Your name is yet to get to the book of life. The email has been sent, but has not been received. Moros is the word. Let me change my tone. I'm going to one level now. Let me just change my tone quickly. Verse 25. It makes a distinction. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That is, what men term as dull about God is wiser than men. Moria. You see it in 1 Corinthians 3:19, 1 Corinthians 3:18, 1 Corinthians 2:14. That is why what is it to man is a mysterion. Because it is a mystery. It is hidden. It's hidden from science. is hidden from intellectualism. So it becomes mystery. And that's the wisdom of God.
It's hidden.
Musterion is that which is hidden that requires revelation. So the wisdom of God requires revelation. Revelation of the knowledge in Him. Are you getting this? That means the wisdom of God to science, the wisdom of God to logic, the wisdom of God to it looks foolish. It looks dull. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's how it will sound. God is a mysterion.
Are you following this?
Look at James 2. James gives us a distinction. James 3, pardon me. James makes a distinction in verse 13. James 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conduct. So, where do we find wisdom? In your conduct. In the application of the truth that you know. He says, among you, let him show out a good conduct. He walks with meekness of what? Insight. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's the word devilish. Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is, I'm going to come on this one next week or so, but the wisdom that is from above is firstly pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And then from of them that make peace. So it describes, we'll come to that. So there is the wisdom from the world. This is not university skill. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can see that not all wisdom is from God. There's a wisdom that is demonic. Some kind of wisdom we use in marketing. Do you get it? Marketing. To bring another company down, to bring their own company up. There's strife in it. Are you following what I'm saying? But you know, in the world, that is being smart. But that wisdom is demonic. The wisdom of I managed him. You told a lie. That's the word managed him. Ah, you're smart. What did you tell him? Top knock. They give you promotion. Right? That brother is using wisdom. A sister came to a friend of mine who was out. Well, they were on the mission, but was not the pastor yet, but was like the spiritual father. He says, he gave her a job. They're going to pay her a lot of money. And the boss now told her. First week, kind of money. She graduated from school and they may give the kind of money that used to be your father's life savings as monthly. Somebody told me something when they said, I have found out, one of Nigeria's biggest men, there's nothing more you cannot do. Said, I have found out. I said, Say, yes. See, that is why when people say they are worshipping God, they say they are lying. He said, money is God. And he proved it. In his word, he said, look, he said, what are your pastors preaching? He said, remove money from God in your church. What do you have? It was making sense. I couldn't say anything. And it was about 11 p.m. in VI. And it was like a penthouse is office. I was looking at it. Scripture, I kept quiet. I could not do any defense of the gospel. He said, look at it. So they'll tell you, will make it. What is making it? How do you make it? I'm going to tell you, I found rest in Christ. Which rest? I came there because of money. I was there at 11 p.m. He said, look at this. He said, no. He said, we are all entrepreneurs. They use people, we use ideas.
I said,
well, but it depends on you. He said, wait. He didn't mention somebody. I don't want to disclose names. He said, when they gave him money, he said, we'll see what happens. I said, it's true. In my mind.
But that's the wisdom of this world.
And that is why some ministries believe that with money, they can do anything. And it's a lie. A couple of weeks back, I sat down with some people, and they sat down, and they structured how they were going to rule Africa with money. And they made sense. So I laughed. And I said, well, one guy was okay. I said, the God I serve does not need money to influence Africa. That's the difference in what we're thinking. He said, no, but he said, well, we have money. Everybody. And that's the wisdom of this world. When there's money, it's everything. Are you following what I'm saying? So they make it anyway, anyhow. But at the end of the day, when you make it, people forget about his tithe and essentially, that guy. Follow him. He knows something you don't know. Then you go and know what he knows. So she brought the offer letter. Pastor prayed over it. Bless you. Okay. It's from glory to glory. Say, amen. So she came back and said, Pastor, this glory comes from you. That first week, they said she go for marketing. She didn't make money. She didn't get money. She just came back. By the second week, that the boss came back. The boss is a Christian. He came back. What's happening? You don't have a target. Sir, but the customer, that customer, I learned that he didn't call you again. Why? That guy, he just gave 1 billion. But the man was saying that you meet him somewhere. Say, so you don't know the place? So why do you think we are paying that much? Why? Say, look, whatever it will take, whatever! The girl gave to the pastor. Why are you asking the pastor what to do? I mean, what did I do? I said, do. Tell her to do what she believes Jesus would do. She does not want to resign. That's it. Because maybe she has been using official car. You don't move my wife. You know what you do? It's not easy. In fact, if you come to church without car, they say, but can you want to put your car? Bending of it, it's not concerned, no. I think, bro, it's facing some challenges. Since I've not been going, you can see the wizard of this world. I ask you, the wisdom of this world. We must realize it. That looks at people how they are dressed. They're welcome. Bless you. Someone else comes. Usher comes with the game. Please go there. Go there. Please move. When the guy is well dressed. Excuse me, can you just move? That's a foolish Christian. Can I say that the wisdom of God is also foolishness to that believer? Amen? Amen? We are not there yet. It's much more. So there is the wisdom of this world. Paul says, when I came unto you, I came not in the excellency of wisdom. Man's wisdom. I came not in the excellency. I did not approach you on that basis, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come to you with good speaking. I didn't come to you with... Imagine there was one church. They brought, Esther's God of Wisdom, they brought one guy. The guy was saying, "Say, we want this man. He had a first class. He had a first class. He had a..." So,
You have the first class, and the guy now got the mic. And just
say, yeah. Say, I've never worked for anything in my life.
Is it your fault? It's not your fault now. That's how they will bring in Tinubu to a church. I like Tinubu a lot. I love him. But to church. He's not saying, God will answer your prayer. Ah! A pulpit, they can't give you 1 minute to even say the grace. The wisdom of this world. Imagine Pilate in the church at Corinth. Paul said, we welcome a great king. Pilate, welcome, Your Excellency. The gospel finishes. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words. You know, that's the word, this world's wisdom, enticing words. That's what people preach that way. Someone was preaching one day. He said, what is the anointing? He said, the Bible says, said, for every message, there's a mess. There's a mess in every message. Said that, said, Jesus took the clay and put it on his eyes. And the Bible says, he anointed his eyes. So what's the clay? The clay is where everybody has spat at. They've stepped on it. All the mess is there. It's all the mess, all the rubbish, it puts it on your eyes. He anoints you. Whatever you are going through is anointing you with it. So for the first time, as he opened his eyes, he saw men as trees. Your vision doesn't become clear immediately. And you are then he anoints you again. You go through another mess. You can't be blessed if you are not stressed. Those are just wisdom of words. Jesus used clay and healed the sick. What was anointing in that one? Do you understand? That's just wisdom. And people talk to them, nice thing. I said, hey! You can see, foolishness is attractive. So, the man that they put clay in his head, did he become a pastor? Can you see, you are not reasoning through. He didn't become a pastor. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Acts 7:22, go there. The Bible talks about Moses. He had the wisdom of Egypt. In those days, Egypt was like the Harvard, the Princeton of this world. He had the wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? He had the wisdom. He was mighty in words and in deeds. But he didn't need that to deliver Israel. Mighty in words and in deeds. Personally, I make it, those who are in our ministerial school, I make it compulsory that everybody must go to university or any higher institution and come out well. And why we do that is not because it will make you have insight in God's word. It's teaching you diligence. Do you understand? And more so, in the world that we are in, you will need to learn to communicate. Outside that, no more. Do you understand? But see, he was wise. He was mighty. That's why I said Moses was not a stammerer. Don't mind anybody. He was never a stammerer. He was mighty in words and in deeds. Okay? So, let's go further. Now, he became wise in words. Acts 7:22, and in deeds. Which means that wisdom is reflective in how you talk and how you behave. How you talk. How you discern things. How you judge matters. In the same, you know, we just said, somebody comes to church, he looks, so he flashes his key. You know, and you look at, please go and sit near Pastor Lan. You know, that is, look at the way you judged him. You see, he reflects something. But there's a wisdom of God that does not see things that way. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, the epignosis now becomes functional. Wait for this. What is now, we're going to see this, I may not go into it much this week. What is really the difference in the wisdom of man and wisdom of God? Is Christ in it. You can't see Christ and be gauging wealth. You understand? And be rating men according to money. You can't see it that way. You will value non-material things more. That's how the wisdom of God acts.
So I'm following this. All right, let's see. In 1 Corinthians 6, we'll come to that. 1 Corinthians 6. Paul begins to now talk to this church about wisdom. You know, last week we said that you will know that Paul is interrogative. Will let you know how foolish or how wise you are. He uses interrogatives. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, normal thing in life, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Look at what it says. You go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Say you have a matter. And you now go to law before the unjust and not before. That means the first thing he wants you to see is that there are saints and there are unrighteous people. You can't expect an unrighteous man to give a judgment of God. You can't. And it says, but this person is a... He says, look, what dare any of you? How can you? Look at this. Do you not know? Now look at the interrogatives. Verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That is, that man you took the believer to ought to be judged by you. And if the world, oh, I love verse 2's narrative. It says, if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? That is, the where God placed us in Christ, he supersedes the Supreme Court judge. Are you now unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Somebody following this? He says, know ye not that you shall, look at the interrogatives, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? I love the word how much more in the Greek. You know, it's not more. Okay? The things of this life cannot be more. It's the word metige. M-E-T-I-G-E. Use just once. Metige. It means let alone or not to mention. Let alone. Like, if we can judge angels, what is there? What is now things of this life? The word things of this life, that means we what we have is superior to life's issues. That's why whenever anything happens, are you following what I'm saying? Just say, I have the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I will not resort to the flesh on this matter. When I talk to couples, for example, or believers having issues, I say, don't do this in the flesh. Stay in the spirit. In the flesh, you will find anger. Right? You will find witchcraft, manipulation. So, but in the spirit, you are going to find long-suffering. You are going to find patience. Stay in the spirit. Stay there. Don't go into the flesh. And you know, most of the time, you know, we know the people to call when we're going to the flesh. Better in church than you can call. But, in church, that's when we go and call their parents. They know their parents are not born again. You know where you get the counsel that will stir your heart onto good works. I follow what I'm talking about here. He says, this life, that word, this life is what bioticos. B-I-O-T-I-K-O-S. B-I-O-T-I-O-K-S is used for ordinary things, regular, these are ordinary things. That one that you are carrying on your head, it's a big matter, it's an ordinary matter. If we have the capacity in Christ to judge eternal issues, why are you letting this one overshadow you? What's the big deal here? You know what I'm talking about here? It's about money, it's about life, it's about this, I'll tell you a couple, I said, I said it's not. I said divorce is an act of your will. Stop saying somebody did something. It's an act of your will. I have to. Say you don't have to. They put a gun on your head. That thou must. Thou shalt. No. It's an act of your will. These are small matters. That is a small matter.
It's not something that will make you not sleep overnight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I met somebody who got money from us. I went to America for one time like that. And so I talked to a Christian. He says, this guy, he's supposed to pay back such and such amount of money today, in fact, with the way it's going today. Maybe over 100 million naira. I said, the guy gave me 150k. He said, hey! Write the embassy. Write this message. I said, but if you do that, what if they don't give him his green card? I got a green card. What if they don't give him his? Say, doesn't matter. He said, doesn't matter. I said, I won't do that. He said, no, but I think about it. I said, I won't think about it. If I think about it, I'll do it. I won't think about it. I know what I'm supposed to do. Hallelujah. I said, if somebody had hit me and taken that money, or you are carrying the money somewhere and they say, go say, your money or your life, we not drop it. Some will not drop it though. Say, I dwell in the secret of the Most High, I'll find myself a mountain. I serve the Lord, he's my rock, and my refuge, my God, he is my throne. The things of my enemies, help me, help. It's the money that protects you, not the right. Have you got the message? Did you get the message? Thank you. Some people that are not here will not know when they hear the teaching, what I just did. Did you get it? It's a small matter. Hallelujah. Are you following my point? Anything is a small matter. Did you get it? So you can see the wisdom of God reduces life's issues to small matters. A small matter. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 4. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. That is, how can you now bring a believer to be subsumed? No, it's not done. It's not done. Hallelujah. That word, least esteemed, is the word exothemio in the Greek. It's exothemio. You now give an unbeliever room to be telling believers how to resolve matters. That's what he's saying. Those who have no reckoning in the church, in the body of Christ, you now give them room to be talking. Imagine. Hallelujah. You bring in a Muslim to tell us, they say, how to handle the present economic recession. You now bring in an unbeliever. In fact, the more you invite them, the more contempt they will have for the gospel. To say what? And this goes also to a carnal Christian. Come and tell you what. They will never mention walking in love. They won't mention agape. They won't mention praying in the spirit. They won't mention evangelism. So what is he going to come and say? Abba. How can you bring those people who are least esteemed in the church? These are not, and then come and put them in a platform, a position of authority. A guy, he said he just loved the service in the church. In this Lagos, he now ordered a trailer load of cement to give to that church, to give them for the building project. I think he now gave them 10 million, something like that. He made him chairman church council, Pentecostal church, immediately. The guy said, when he was asking some funny things, and I asked him, I'm not born again! So that's a very honest unbeliever. He will call the pastor by name. Why would you do that? The wisdom of this world. That's fine, what it is. You know, in the world, we will vote. Who do they like the most? We'll make him president. We'll make him governor. That is not how they choose in the body of Christ. In fact, sometimes it's the most popular that we will not take. Because this one, why are you this popular?
What are you doing? Hallelujah. So how would you do that? This is actually, it's a shame. Look at what Paul says. He says, I speak this to your shame. It's a shameful thing. That word in the Greek is entropy. E-N-T-R-O-P-E. It means it's something that should be is detestful. Why are you doing this? In 1 Corinthians 15, 34, he said, awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's a shameful thing. A man came to the service. They gave him, he was preached three services, and he brought out books to unbelievers. You have to know this. He brought books. How to invest. How to... Abba. We're struggling enough in the world with these things. You now bring it to the church. He didn't even allow us to cast out demons again. They are now with us. Because by the time you mix the word and those things, we can't discern. That's not why we come to church. We come to church so that we can handle those things when we get into the world. You understand what I'm talking about? It says the wise. The word wise is the word sophos. 20 times, those who have cultivated knowledge, they have functional wisdom. Applicable. That is, when things happen, we see what they know. Are you following my point? I like what Pastor Stokes says oftentimes. He says, what you say and do under pressure is what you really know. You know, you find some wonderful believers. Very active. When you see how they get married, you really know their conviction. That means there was something, no matter the much light they were getting, they never put it to practice. There was something else that was superior in their mind. So superior. Those are folks, in their head, it's just travel outside the country. Whether you now go there and be a statue, just go. Just go. It was really unfailing. I said, she said she had the choice of marriage. I said, pray about it. She said, I have prayed. I said, before you told me. She said, pray again. She said, it will take time. I said, well, she said, mommy has prayed. I said, your mommy. I said, but the first one, the brother you told me, he said, mommy prayed. Yes. The second one, mommy prayed. Said, the two times mommy prayed, what did she say? Said, they were the right choices. And she's praying again. So, you know why you want mommy to pray? Do you get it? You know, very funny. You know, that means you are not applying what you know. Just travel. Let us travel. Let us travel. Why? What are you going to do? So the brother, I sat down. I said, sit down. And this was not. This was just. I said, he wants to go and do BSc abroad and all that. I said, wait. I said, the school fees. How much is it? It's also $100. Say, your family. You are the last one. That was just one house that was given to all of you. If they sell that house, not open market, no, not forced sales value, open market price, it's not up to this school fees. That means all your siblings have to agape the house. This is just 1 year school fees. How do you want to balance the rest? Or is there any house again your father left? Said, why not just take jump? That kind of person, if he's not restrained, he can go and do visa racketeering, and he says, God, the wisdom of this world, just get the result anyhow. Do you know that success is not a proof that you're in the will of God? Achieving anything, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Esau obviously was more wealthy than Jacob. He didn't struggle. When Jacob gave, he said, no, take it. He said, I'm okay. You know, the way it sounded like a typical Nigerian guy, whether Yoruba or Igbo, one of the two. No, we boast. Both of us, we boast a lot. Say, don't worry, I'm fine. Just to show you, I'm okay. I just finished. I just ate, you know. Yoruba will say it in a funny way. Yoruba are descriptive. Igbos are definite. I say, I'm fine. Yoruba will say, I took. He's like, don't worry, what is this that you're bringing? He said, I'm okay. And the Bible calls him a puffin man. So it's of no use. If you like, have 10 PhDs, you're not born again, your name is not in the book of life. And I'm going to give you a Bible to write it. If you like, buy up all the shares in this country. I once told the pastor, I said, look, say they have money in their ministry. Say if you like, buy up the whole of Lagos. We'll shoot to Ogun State. That's our church. Say it doesn't matter. Say if you put us under a tree, we'll preach the gospel. Abi? This is a sign that this AC was not working. Were we not doing church? I'll still preach my 2 hours. No shake. It's you that are looking at things like that. Praise God. So, look at the way you judge matters. Don't judge matters like you are not born again. You're born again. Wisdom means functional. And so, that's why, look at Galatians 3:1. Every time Paul talks about foolish believers, he begins to use interrogations. Know ye not? Oh, foolish Galatians, Galatians 3:1. Who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. Interrogatives. This only will I learn of you. Receiving the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Not that question you can answer yourself. I began in the Spirit. How can I think I will be made perfect in the flesh? Now, why was he asking those questions? You know, obviously, he was asking those questions because they had been taught. So, apply what you know now. Because there is gnosis in epignosis. Apply it now. Why can't you reason? Look at what you are, what you know. Look at what you are doing. Reason now. Hallelujah. It doesn't, that means what you are taught is not reflective in what you are doing. That's why 1 Corinthians 6, please rush there, let's see something. 1 Corinthians 6. I skipped something, I don't know why I skipped it. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, good. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at how many times he asks questions. Verse 1. Okay. Verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 4. Questions. Verse 5. Verse 7. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. This is because, don't lose this fact though, because you go to the law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? That is, you can take wrong. That's walking in love. Why not just bear the fault? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, do you wrong and defraud and not your brethren? That is the reason for verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous, those who are not born again, cannot inherit the authority of God? He can't. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of the of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, I inherit the kingdom of God. That's authority. That is, what authority are they using to talk to you? And such were some of you, but you are washed. you are saved. Don't ever lose this. Oh, that's the verse. The essence of verse 9 and 10 is to distinguish believers from unbelievers. Not the conduct, but the nature. That's why it says in verse 11, you are washed, you are sanctified. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That's the reason why he made that distinction. So he begins to ask interrogative questions. Now look at, think through now. What are you talking about? With what you have heard, with all the teachings you have heard, don't you know that the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Then he begins to, not that your members are the members of Christ, bodies are members of Christ. Know ye not, verse 16, that you are joined to an allot, you are one body. Then in verse 17, you are one spirit with the Lord. Know ye not that your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, verse 19. So he begins to ask those questions. That is why is he talking to them like that? Don't forget in chapter 3, he says that they were walking like mere men. They were not putting to practice what they had been taught. Act like this now. The reason why you are taught the word of God, so that it can reflect in your thinking and in the way you speak. It must reflect in how you think. In 1 Corinthians 11:22, same, you know, so the issue about the carnality of the Corinthian church was they were not reflecting what they were taught. 11:22, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Despise ye the church of God? Look at that word. 1 Corinthians 11:22. Despise ye the church of God. And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. That is the reason why he said in verse 29 that they did not discern the Lord's body. That's the church. And that's why some people were dying. You can't distinguish believers from unbelievers. Why should you be like that? Always make a distinction between believers and non-believers. In any country, in any sphere, in any career you are involved in, know the distinction. I relate in organizations that are not Christian, that are secular, and I have the opportunity sometimes to meet believers and sometimes other ministers, and I just regard them like that. That's not business sense. Well, that's your business. I walk in the wisdom of God. I'm not going to walk in the wisdom of this world with you. I walk in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? The wisdom of God. It may look foolish, okay? But it's the wisdom of God. It may look like I'm dull. It may look like I'm stupid. But really, I'm the wiser. Gentleness looks stupid. Strife looks wise. But gentleness is actually wiser. That's the wisdom of God. Forgiveness looks like a weakness, but it's strength. Amen. Are you following this? So we must not act like mere men. We mustn't be ordinary in how we think and how we act. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? You marry a Christian, or you're married to a pastor, male or female, and then you get to your family, and everybody's free and talking anyhow, and then you begin to call your husband, who is a pastor, anyhow. You're only foolish. You think they will look at you like you're a dog when you don't use nickname among them. You are feeling among. He says, come out from among them and be separate. Hallelujah. You are sanctified now. Act like that. Let your light shine. Praise God. You know, we are not afraid of our light shining. Praise God. We are not afraid. I was in law school. When I was in law school then. And then they were taking alcohol. You know, they put alcohol on our table. There were Christians there. And so it was the law dinner. I said, I'm not drinking. Ah, boy, it's not a big deal now. I mean, look, how would you feel that, boy? I said, I'm not. So I'm a Christian. I'm not taking it. I'm not saying to take alcohol is a sin. I'm a Christian. I'm not taking it. You understand that? I said, boy, what's this now? Losing now. But I said, I'm not. Thank you. Get it? What are you trying to prove? You are chosen of God. Amen. You understand? You are his son. You are certainly beloved. What are you trying to prove? To who? Hallelujah.
was one businessman that was making a very lewd joke, and then this guy was a commissioner in one state. And I said, this guy is not laughing. What is he using? Is he not funny? And he said, he's a Christian. Now actually, he says, is my joke too dirty? I said, yes. It's just at that point, from that day, they don't make such jokes when I'm there. They didn't. But some of them fell out. I know. I was just thinking about something. You're peace out. No big deal. I don't want to lose the contract. Hallelujah. Amen. We can walk away from things. Praise God. No, we can walk away from things. We can walk away. Praise God. Get my point. We can walk away. Go to Ephesians 5, 15. Are you learning something? I have a long way to go, so you have to be patient. Ephesians 5, 15. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, verse 14, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's take verse 15 together, Ephesians 5. See then that you walk not as what? But as what? He said we should walk circumspectly. That word walk is the Greek word peripatao. It means to conduct yourself circumspectly. We'll come to that. Not as fools, but as wise. That word fools is unwise, asophos, without wisdom. But as wise. Circumspectly is the word akribos in the Greek, A-K-R-I-B-O-S. It means accuracy. It's used for walking on ropes. Do you understand? Walking on ropes. You are circumspect. You are careful. You have to be careful. Don't get too carried away in your office, okay? Okay? Don't get too carried away. Don't get too carried away. Be circumspect. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful the things you are watching. Be careful the things you are listening to. Be careful. That's what he's saying. Be circumspect. Not as fools, but as wise. Okay? Now, what's the wisdom there? Verse 16. What's it? Redeeming what? Redeeming what? Let's get to that because we're going practical and I think from today we'll start getting practical. The word redeem is the word exogorazo. A-X-A. A-X-A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. It means to save as much. So one of the first ways you know you are foolish is when you think you have all the time. You know, it says you redeem the time. It's a fool that thinks he has time. You don't have all the time. You know, we should redeem the time. Save as much time as possible. There was a guy like that we're talking and he said, look, give me some time. Give me some time. He was even rebellious and I'll give him some time. So I saw him. I saw him about 10 years after. I said, do you still have the time? You have to redeem time. You have to redeem time. There is no time. Yeah? So, a fool thinks he has all the time. You don't have all the time to grow. I hope you know. And I always tell folks who are on campus, if you don't set your sail now, there will be things that will come into your life that will make spiritual growth like the second coming of Jesus for you. You will just set your sail now. Now. Be disciplined now. I always say, Lord, your pastor will tell you when you were in school. I said, you can't get less busy. You will have commitments will grow over time. So get, if you want to have a disciplined life of prayer, let it start now. Don't say, I know there will be a time, there will not come any time. Redeem is foolishness. They teach you prayer, you say later. They teach you evangelism, you say later. They teach you story, you say later. VG, later. Okay, later. Everything will be later, you will become late. So, it's only a fool that does not redeem the time. You save as much time as possible. How can you say you marry somebody that the person will change? Even the one that they say in this country, you see what is happening. You have to be patient with it. That's what I'm saying. You know, you will change. You! How many times have you said you will change that you did not change? You to yourself, oh, you did not change. It's not a prayer point. Are you following what I'm saying? Say, person will adjust. Hey, don't worry. It's their time. And all that. It's a fool that talks like that. Wise men take cognizance of all the realities. Hallelujah. A foolish person, verse 17, therefore be not unwise. Look at how many times he uses it. Fools, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I like the word affront. That's the word foolish. The word there means not to consider important things. A foolish person will not consider important things. As my sister was rushing to marry, she said, her mother said, you know, I remember that one my mom said, hey, when are you going to have your child? I said, we're not ready. She said, why? It's not going to. I said, do you want to have it for me? I was not joking. I said, what can I say that? I said, please leave me alone. You understand? You are the one that allows you to put pressure on you. Okay, I don't want to do. Oh, I'm not. So that's how the sister said, okay. So, of course, when you are desperate, you meet a prey, you meet what? That's how they got married. They got married, the wedding night, that brother pretended very well, went to a membership class and all that, spoke in tongues and all that. If you see, use tongues to judge people. That's how the wedding night, though. She was lying there, you open her eyes and saw the guy doing, la, 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 la. I'm not telling you the story, I'm telling you the reality. Sweet dance! Sweet dance! Because you mean you are in a hurry? Because a fool will overlook things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It will matter. Do you understand? It will matter.
But see this. So look at Luke 12:20. How Jesus called a rich man a fool. How can you call a rich man a fool? Jesus is not waking up. A man that had enough, he owns 3 banks, he has everything, he has Panama safe, everything. Oh fool, look at what he said. This night, your soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be, which you have provided? I told my father something one day. I said, you know the funny thing about life? I said, everything you are boasting about, if you die, you can't determine what's going to happen. You can only wish. You can't determine. So I said, who will now? This is that you are fighting for. You want to have a house in Manana Island, in Coconut Island, in Panapo Island. You want to have it in heaven, in hell, in Mars, and all that. At the end of the day, for what purpose? You have 8 cars. Even if you are octopus, can you ride all? Do you know that if we reason with the word of God, what is a Christian doing with 10 billion naira in his account? What is he doing? What are you doing with it? He's the unbeliever that uses account as security. What are you doing with it? What to do what? I was talking to these are unbelievers. And we're talking to them. They were 2 Muslims. So we're having a discussion. Lang wasn't there. Was somebody else out there? And we're talking, and one of them said something. The guy owns an airline. He said, and the way he said it was so funny. He said, the fellow that has $5 million and $500 million said there's no difference. I said, why? He said the only difference is that. He said there's nothing the $500 million guy can afford. Basic luxuries that the $5 million guy can afford. He said, the only man that he will do more, but the basic thing. I said, you know, if you overdo things, it will kill you. What he said? He said, if you can fly business car, he said, the real difference between the multi-billionaires and just who are average, he said, it's not much. It's just
the excesses. I said, yepa. This is a sermon we need to hear in churches. And it's true. It's true. It's basic truth. The enjoyment in many private planes can be enjoyed in first class of some airlines. It's just going to be different, a big difference. I said, look, if you have, okay, if you have 100 billion, what are you put in account? I said, I can't. You take 1 million. So if you take 1 million out of 2 million, you begin to shake. It's because it has become security for you. It's the wisdom of this world. That's why you don't give. If I take 10k out of 100k, it's 90k. Ah, 90k. I will now have 90k. Just 90k. 90k. Ah, no. Let me take 1k. That's the wisdom of this world. So, you know, we can start functioning in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. That's how some believers, they got jobs. That Sunday mornings, they're at work. There was a brother. They gave him work in his office. To go and sit in a NASFAT meeting to be collecting offering. He took it off. He said it's not growing. How? How do you want to grow? You are losing your salvation. Warning notice. You are going to hell. What is wrong with you? You're asking, you know, that's not a reasonable. How can you go? Don't you, look at, they've changed your values. And you are saying you are not growing. How do you want to grow? You will grow. They've changed your values now. Say no. Say no. It's covetousness. When I was growing up, my father was a banker. And I remember, oftentimes, it's either we get home from school before him, or he just comes in not long after we do. I mean, I'm just about that. I was a banker. But by the time things became big and so much money, people began to work 24 hours. People began to have more diseases. Yes, less commitment to the kingdom of God. They have more divorces. You have more family problems because our values have changed. At the end of the day, the wisdom of God is wiser than them. What covetousness breeds, when you see it, you will run. Brother Hagin gave a story of a Midas touch. He said, if you have what you want, will you want what you have? He told the story of one guy that said, everything I touch will become gold. Story, Midas legend. So, it was looking fine. You touch this one, it become gold. Touch that one, it become gold. Say, hey, money has come. Anything I touch, become gold. That's how they brought food. He touched food, it became gold. Went to have his bath, touch water, it became gold. Thought this one became gold. Yeah? This one became gold. Everything that became gold. Ha! Fruit, gold. Ha! This one, gold. His bed, gold. His clothes, gold. Underwear, gold. No, that's not a problem. Gold. That's how his daughter ran, and his daughter became gold. So if you have all you want, we always pray not to have everything you want. No, you want things. Think about the thing you want. You want something that you know will kill you. You know now, the wisdom of God is wiser than men. So when we learn from the epignosis of God, we have an epignosis of money, hallelujah, that tells us that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. It's epignosis. We have an epignosis that says that empty, naked did we come to this world and we will return empty. That's an epignosis. You'll be there, but what about this? What about this? It's epignosis. I like the way Muslims bury themselves. It makes you ordinary. Just take maths. That's all. This is the truth. And that is the truth about life. Hallelujah. People don't want to hear this part of the gospel. Here it is. It's epignosis. A fool. He said, what? Okay. He said, where would, who is going to do use these things now? Hallelujah. Some were saying that the Bible says, lay up your treasures where thieves cannot get there. Lay up your treasures. That, what is he saying to you? That when you begin to sow into the kingdom, it becomes secure from thieves. I said, Even your houseboy steals your things. What kind of yeye gospel is that? What he's saying is that lay up spiritual treasures, good works. Even your houseboy, even your children, even your wife. She'll give you a budget of 100,000 and it's 95,000 till spend. Abi? Let's leave that. I didn't call her a thief. I'm just saying that it's just his life. Let's go. So, you know wisdom by asking the right questions. Have you asked yourself the right questions? What if I take a lesser paid job? Will it allow me time for family? For the kingdom of God? Will it allow my health? You know, those are questions that wisdom will ask. Wisdom asks questions. Why are you rushing into it? Why? What would you, if you don't do it tomorrow, will you die? I remember somebody told me years ago, when I was starting business, I said, sir, we have to sign that thing. And I was like, guy said, dog man, sit down. I will never forget. So sit down. So I'm not signing it. So I'm signing it on Friday. He said, the heavens will not change by Friday. Go home. And he came back, he signed it. I'm not there at that point. I just learned patience. To just wait till Friday. That was why I learned to wait till Friday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just like ministry. When I was younger in the ministry, there are some things I would be eager. As I started growing, in fact, I now understand Moses. Why he ran? You know what he said? Some people give me offers now. I'm saying no. I now begin to call people and say, what do you think about this? So, me that we are praying, we are trusting God for dozens. I say, let's relax, let's wait. It's because you are learning to wait. When you're in the life of Kenneth Hagin and you see how he started the main ministry God put in at age 57. Why are you not waiting? And people, everything, every time you see things that they're putting you under pressure, more often than not, is to get into trouble. More often than not. Wisdom will ask the relevant questions. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, what communion are darkness with light? That means think about it. Think about what communion are darkness with light? Think about it. So, wisdom will what? It will ask questions. Based on what you know, ask questions. Hallelujah. That person, everybody, I was talking about one time, she was praying for her husband. The husband said he got a job offer to go to France to work. So, she was really praying that the thing they were doing an interview. She was, that has to work. Because of France. I will stay there. The man will be in France. He will get more money. And all that. Not that they'll go together. And all that. He was praying. So the husband just kept quiet. The husband now came over and said, well, they didn't take me. That I was second in Italy. He said, well, there was something I never told you. I'll go to France for 6 years and I won't see my family. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So there's something that they look attractive. Okay? What if you ask questions? Hallelujah. You ask questions. There are some questions that should be asked. He says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. I said, foolish folks don't look into the future. It is now. What was about the wise and foolish virgins? Did you know it was about future? Everybody had the same thing for now, but others had the future in mind. Simple sense. What about the, it's just about, they think about the future. About the future. There's a guy who danced like that, who married a man. You know what I'm talking about? Married. The man had a lot of money and all that. And then one day, when she was talking about complaining, the guy wasn't going to church. Said, did you marry me for church? You know, for money? She was shocked. Sir, are you pretending? She said, you are a spiritual sister. For you to marry me, that means you wanted the money. Don't you have it? Don't use God to disturb me at all. That's reality now. What is the God you are now talking about now? Is it God you were looking for before?
So, listen carefully. The wise man, alright, thinks about the future. He takes everything together. The wisdom of God prompts us to ask questions. Is this God's will for my life? I always tell people, when you get to the point where you want to marry yourself, sit down. So sit down, bro, sit down. I am a pastor. You are what? How can this ever work? There's some things you don't pray about. If you are praying about it, you want to go and disobey. What are you praying about? Somebody told you that he does not believe in the power of God. And said you are praying about his choice. What choice? That's the one time I married one brother. I don't know, no, it's not his brother. It's not a brother. One guy. And so, she will now bring out first of his friend back in a co-plan for family devotion. Guy will be slowly. Pray, Joe. Pray. Pray. So one day, we're in the house. The son maybe had, something that happened. And then, guy said, I don't know why you guys disturb God with all this, your prayer, faith, and all that. Just go and use drugs. Sweetheart, I said, don't talk like that, sweetheart. But that day, I couldn't say anything. Because I was in the house already late. If I go and be showing scripture now, and there was one dog in the house, I just like, bro, talk spirit. You know, well, I said, it's okay, that's God. He's your husband, not my husband. What is it? Verse 18. But be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That word there is asotia, S-O-A-S-O-T-I-A, is used for wastefulness, being prodigal, and being profligacy generally, being wasteful. So people that are unwise are always excessive. They're always excessive. Their emotions are uncontrolled. Their anger uncontrolled. Their passions uncontrolled. Their desires uncontrolled. Those who are unwise have excessive desires. Excessive appetites. Some people have built their marriages on just sex, sex, sex. After a while, they discover that it's more than a sex theater. Oh, if that was it, those who act all those pornography will be good wives. Your character comes to view. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? It's over. Most of the time, it's overrated. Excessiveness. Look at the way we do marriages. You spend all your money on a ceremony to impress men. You are not impressing your husband or your wife because you are married. It's men. That my clothes that day. They'll be taking it from Tubman Bridge. My hair must be because you want to be like Diana. Did Diana's marriage succeed? You know those people that are company that are going to Dubai, they are fighting themselves on Facebook and everything. Are cursing themselves. And you will get what you sow if you sow their seed. It's true. Excessiveness. What are you excessive about? You want to impress me? And people can lie. They can never be impressed. So. Human beings can never be impressed. So you are wasting your time. What's wrong with you? Why are you trying to impress? People can never be impressed. There is nothing you will do. Just walk in the peace of God for your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to impress people. You can't do this. You can't do that. You will buy clothes you don't need for people that will never be impressed. Tell yourself the truth. If they ask you, what do you want to wear? Do you know sometimes it's not the same clothes you want to wear every day? Forget hygiene. Really? Do you know? No, sincerely. If they ask you that, they will think that God has forsaken me. They will think that. So at the end of the day, you discover that all the excesses are because of people. That's why in our ministry, we don't like it, go to another church. Go to another church. We'll not kill ourselves because of what you like. We'll preach the word no more. See, this is excessiveness. But be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. If anything should be full in your life, it should be the Holy Ghost. I'll close here. Hope you're learning something. So you ask the right questions.
You ask the right question. Like Pastor Lan was saying, this, if you look at the kind of money you want to spend on your wedding, have you spent it on the gospel? Have you spent the money you want to spend on burial? Burial. Somebody who has died though, the person that spent the money though, is not even aware. Maybe he's even here wishing that he didn't die. Are you spending? You are impressing who? Who are you impressing? Our Father cannot be impressed. He does not want to be. He's already impressed that you are born again. So why are you stressing yourself? A young man was telling me when he started a church, he doesn't know what to do. I said, what's the problem? I said, have sinners finished in the world or everybody raptured? I said, no, sir. He said, the money I have, he said, 350K. He said, I can't have equipment. I said, you are not a serious person. Don't you have a room? Is there anyone that the Holy Ghost will stay outside when you get there? He said, no. What's wrong with you? You are stressing yourself. That's what you are doing. You are only stressing yourself. You want to impress people. Walk in the will of understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. If there's anything I should be filled with, is to be filled with the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? The parents you are trying to convince, they are unconvincing. You know, they will pick the primary school for you, they will pick the secondary school for you, they will pick the university for you, the course. You will graduate, they will tell you where you are going to serve. You will come out, they say, do this one. And then, what about this? Marriage, income. Ah. You get married, say, what about children? Why two? Why not six? They can never satisfy. So you must get enough. It's my life, not your own. Then I said, sat my father down and said, sit down. He said, no matter how much you love me, that's a certificate. Is it your name that is there? He said, it's my own name. Calm down. Okay? Became friends. Then I became Frank. You've lived your life. You can't live your failed dreams through me. I walk in God's plan for my own life. Say, you know why I don't listen to you so often? Say, why? You told me in 1986 that born again is a lie. I found out it's not true. That you were the one that stayed in the life. How can I believe you in more important things? You don't even know how to get to heaven. So that's a wise question. A wise man. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet in God's presence. You receive the wisdom of God. Amen. You receive the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Let us pray for insight, wisdom to handle life's issues. James says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let us pray. Wisdom in your office, your career, your mighty decisions, wisdom in your health, wisdom in ministry, wisdom to handle family pressure. We must not give in to foolishness. We are walking in wisdom, the wisdom of God. You will not yield to performing for people and then lose sight of the peace of God that works in your life. Pray.